Squidward, the new member, says, "This is a picture of me." No, but I want to thank Peg. This was sort of her idea of the sermon title. But aging is not for wimps. You folks won't understand this for many years, but that's the way we used to do it. Get off my lawn. And back when Gordon was a young man, this is the way he said it. Scurrilous hooligans, remove thy personages from my cultivated residential grass. Post haste. Do you remember saying that, Gordon? No. But this, that picture, that was Mr. Fredrickson from Movie Up. And just, it's a wonderful cartoon movie. But in United States culture, what are our views on old people? You know, that's, we don't esteem them anymore. You know, what do we value? Beauty, youth, strength, health, success, accomplishment. Old people are relegated to the scrap heap of old age. Unlike Eastern cultures, they hang on to the wisdom of the elders. We unfortunately nowadays, I think, you know, my generation, although I'm starting to creep up there, but we discriminate. You know, old folks get less care, you know, because why would we want to give them care? Things like euthanasia, you know, voluntary, which is bad enough, but some countries are starting to make that almost mandatory. You know, both active euthanasia and passive, you know, that is put euthanasia. Good death is what that means in Greek. And, you know, killing off old people. Or what's really become a problem in the U.S., we institutionalize problems. Just ship them off and, you know, put them, you know, in a facility and just, you know, come visit them once a month. So what does the Bible have to say? So when it comes to aging, here's a sort of a technical definition, but a decline in physiological competence that inevitably increases the incidence and intensifies the effects of accidents, disease, and other forms of environmental stress. A lot of fancy words, but we have the study of what's called gerontology. That comes from the Greek word geron, which means old man, and ology, which means the study. So the study of Mr. Fredericks and the old men. And it's the study of the chronological years, biological, social, and psychological aspects of aging. And we all know there are physical aspects, you know, which is chronological and biological. As we get older, physically, we're not what we used to be. Aging, we're, you know, hearing, vision, teeth, things like that. And with hearing and vision especially, people, older folks can feel isolated. The central nervous system slowdown. You know, the capacity is fine. Well, most of your capacity is fine. No, but the capacity is fine. It just takes longer. We don't think as fast as those brilliant teenage kids we used to have. David, you're pretty smart. Not really. And things like even sex, it's more relational than physical. And then when it comes to things like disease, and I put that in quotes, but you know, in geriatrics, but the chronic four, arthritis, you know, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, but raise your hand if you have arthritis, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes. With senility, you know, the meds we have to take, or nutrition, or metabolic imbalance, you know, that can skew things. And you know, just can be improper care. Once again, you know, I come, my dad's a doctor, was a doctor, and very conservative. But some doctors, I call them the stethoscope generation, you know, the young snot-nosed kids that are doctors where the solution to everything is another pill. Well, did you know that that pill is going to kill you if it's combined with that pill? They don't think holistically sometimes. Senile brain disease, where once again, your brain sort of atrophies and you can feel isolated. Cerebral vascular disease. There's a loss of blood flow to the brain. And that can actually occur. Alzheimer's disease, you know, or pre-senile dementia. We all, some maybe are experiencing, but we all have family members. I have stories in my family of that. But then there's also medical side effects, all the pills. And believe me, I'm on the bandwagon now. I think I'm personally keeping Walgreens in business. My prescriptions are ridiculous. But the side effects, you know, because and we know as Christians, God made our bodies. We are holistic beings. You know, we have a material part and an immaterial part. And so the meds sometimes can interact or counterbalance or cause other issues. You know, the cure is worse than the problem. But then there are non-physical, you know, the social and the psychological, self-esteem. How many of us, a lot of us had, you know, just, we had very important careers, we made a difference, but now it's a contributor society. From being up there, now you're just a dependent. And that's hard for us, especially guys. Our retirement, that's the most crucial stage, life stage for aging as when we are retired. You know, concerned about finances. What about our values and how that affects us, you know, in retirement? There's a loneliness sometimes, especially if a spouse has died, loneliness, loss, death, divorce, all these things. You know, it's a loss from what God intended, but because of ultimately sin in the world, you know, there's death, there's illness, and all these things. Guilt, think of your kids. I don't know whose kids those are over there, but I feel guilty for him. No, but, you know, if our kids don't grow up with the family values, we can take it very hard. You know, how many of our kids went off to university or school and came back different people? Some of the big three are depression. That's the number one complaint for older folks. Helplessness. Worthlessness. No interest in things that used to, you know, interest us. Health is, obviously health's going down. It's easy to get things like alcohol or drugs to fill that void. Suicide, you know, the euthanasia, it's euthanasia. Well, it really can become suicide. But then there's also paranoia. And I'm not paranoid. I know you people are out to get me. But suspiciousness, do you recognize it in others and yourself? Accusations, the attempt to fill in the blanks in the person's view of the situation. So, you know, we're trying to hang on to the situation and then we will start filling in blanks, right or wrong. Our hearing and our seeing, once again, affects awareness. You, like I said, you feel sort of isolated. But then, I know this is none of us, hypochondria. You know, and why do you think? On certain times of the day, on certain channels, if you're watching TV, every other advertisement is for some drug. And if you have these symptoms, I do. You know, that's designed to take advantage of that instinct that something's wrong, I need a pill to fix it. So the concern of hypochondria, worried about that, can affect our relationships. You know the relative or the friend that, you know, is convinced they're dying and they just want to spend all day bringing you down to explain why this may be your last conversation. You know, sometimes we know something's wrong. I just can't put my finger on it. You know, and then people that complain about that can sort of develop a stigma. You know, oh, yeah, that's Dieter's. He's just, you know, he's convinced he has leprosy. I don't, by the way. At least I don't. I don't think so. Well, the Bible talks a lot about the years and the mileage, aging, which is ultimately a result of sin. I mean, just in the pure sense, if we were all in the Garden of Eden, this wouldn't have been. We would not be devolving. Biblical worldview, we are devolving from the way God intended it. That's sin, folks. And so Scripture deals with that reality. Look at some verses. Psalm 90. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You know, this is, I believe, Solomon, but in his old age, sort of describing a life without God. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. David, Sam, Beth, remember now the days of your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. 1 Kings. Now King David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Any of you can never get warm? I'm getting that way. One of the things with my stroke, I'm on a pharmacy, but my blood pressure was one of the causes of the stroke, which I didn't care about, my arrogance. But now I have pretty low blood pressure, and I get cold a lot more. Up in Nebraska, at a previous church, had a sweet little lady who was always cold. And she said, she was all worried, Pastor, is cremation okay? Because that'll be the only time I'm warm. Genesis 48. Now the eyes of Israel, Jacob, were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Job 15 says, both the gray-haired and the aged are among us. Yes, you are. Much older than your father. So that's just the reality that the Bible talks about in a fallen world. How do we cope with this? How do you cope with this? And so sometimes living in the past, you know, reminiscing can be positive, but if we don't, you know, recognize, I'm sorry, we don't drive the wagon with a whip anymore. You know, that's, reminiscing is good, but don't live in the past. Preparatory mourning. So a morbid interest in death. And I won't ask you to raise your hand. How many of you like to read the obituaries to see if any of your friends are there? But that's, we are preparing for death. And so it's just, the reality is, you know, I'm on this side of the curve, if you will, the belt. I'm surfing the backside of the wave. I'm closer to the grave than I was back in the past. Denial. You know, how many, you know, the old thing, have you ever been to one of your reunions, all those old people there? And you go to the reunion and you think, man, do they look old? We're denying it. And that's okay until it prevents proper decisions and behavior consummate with our age and status in life. Mistrustful behavior, you know, caution can lead to suspicion, which then can also hurt others. You know, when I know you people stole my underwear. You know, and that affects relationships, doesn't it? This doesn't describe any of us. Stubbornness, avoidance of change, tradition, you know, because that's one way we don't want to lose control. We cling tenaciously to what is left. It's something to hang on to. Worship of independence. How many of you, don't raise your hand, your kids were dreading the day they had to take your car keys? David, you'll have to pry them out of my cold, dead hand. But it becomes a protective garb of doing our own thing. We want to be independent, and we don't like having to rely on others. And believe me, this is a good lesson for me that I'm learning, that Georgia takes great care of me. The boy, not so much. But that can lead to, I'm just like I was in college, and can lead to a lack of health care, safety, you know, taking risks, not doing the things. And that's something I can personally attest to, that, you know, up before my stroke, I was invincible. I'm not, you know, I ate and I just did anything I wanted, where I'm sort of denying that I've got a shelf life. Also, overdoing things. So activity becomes a defense against depression, anxiety, pain. We neglect the issue. So overdoing things. So I can do that. How many of you thought you could do that? And then you spend a week with a sore back because you tried to chop logs when you shouldn't be. But then also, this I know doesn't apply to any of us, a ritualistic behavior. Everything has to be done according to a ritual. We're a slave. I know I'm guilty, can be guilty of that. This, I'm getting better. A slave to a routine or a schedule or tasks. Task to ward off evil. If I just stick to the plan, all will go according to my control. We want to command our environment. So, Kelvin, I'm going to ask Kelvin to come up. So that's sort of the just the reality of aging and how we, you know, the reality. And for us old people, one of the things, it's good to recognize that, but it's also good for the young people to realize what others are going through. Sage, do you have a question? Can you hear that? I mean, and yeah, amen. If we snot-nosed kids would take the time to listen, and how many of you just would like to be listened to? See, that's that self-worth, and there's wisdom there. I mean, once again, I don't, you know, if Chuck starts telling me about the old days when he used to use the buggy whip, you know, I was like, okay, that was great, good story, but we do things a little differently. But how many of you like to talk and just share and remembrances? And Stacy's exactly right, to be able to sit and listen. One of the things that when I was first dating Georgia, you know, we were just really young kids. We would go take dates, remember this, over to my grandpa and grandma's house and just sit and listen to how the snow was so deep going to school, uphill both ways. And the stories there, so funny. I mean, and we heard the same stories over and over, and they got better. So thank you. Very good. Very good. But that's something, you know, we need to recognize. We all like to be able to reminisce and talk, and young kids would do well to sit at the feet of their elders and just, if nothing else, show them the courtesy of caring. So now, aging well, what does the Bible say? Well, a theological foundation, Psalm 71, and I would encourage you all to turn there, really deals with this, and I'm going to have, just so you don't have to listen to me try to read, Kelvin, can you read? You're important. You're not worthless, Kelvin. No, but Psalm 71 is a prayer for the aged. That's us, right? So read verses 1 to 4, if you would. And folks, I would encourage you to follow along. First of all, he starts off with a prayer of confidence. So first of all, no matter how old you are, you know, guess who's older? The Ancient of Days. So go ahead, verses 1 to 4.
Give the command and save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel.
Okay, so notice how it's starting that translation, but it's emphasized in you, O Lord. So relying on the Lord, ultimately, you know, that's hope. That's, as Christians, we have that advantage. So, now read verses 5 to 8. And after he's sort of affirming his confidence, he's an old man affirming his confidence in the Lord. 5 through 8.
For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long.
That verse 8, sorry. Okay. But, you know, there, you're praising God and looking to God. I'm not dwelling on who stole my underwear. I'm my eyes out there, not wallowing in the pit. You know, we have a lot of therapeutic silliness in this country, secular, therapeutic, you know, just navel gazing. Not Noli, not the Naval Academy. Navel, belly button gazing, where we're just absorbed by ourselves. So, okay, verses 9 to 13. This is a prayer in the old age.
Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait guilty conspire together. They say, God has forsaken me. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace.
All right, and then now, and the way this, and I'm not going to bore you with, but this is sort of the central part. Psalms are really structured well. And this is what's being the emphasis. It's on the right syllable. But this is, so a prayer in old age, now verses 14 to 18. So a hope in old age. So this is what we, how we can age well. The confidence, the hope that we have. So 14 to 18.
As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long. Though I know not how to relate them all, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God. Though I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come.
Passing on wisdom. And did you get that? If we are so busy praising God, it's hard to wallow in the negative aspects of age. I just like that. And until I declare, mine says, declare your strength. Yeah, great. Let me tell you about my God. You young whippersnapper, look at what God has done. And my life can be a testimony of God's grace for, 90 years. So, okay, then now, another affirmation of confidence, verses 19 and 21 through 21.
Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more.
All right, and then finally, a thanksgiving with this confidence. A big perspective. That's what all of us can have, should have. An eternal, godly perspective instead of, the little blinders in our own little personal lives. So verses 22 to 24, thanksgiving.
I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who want to harm me have been put to shame and confusion.
Very good. Thank you, Kelvin. Let's give him a hand. For an old man, that was quite good. Hug. No, but you get that. Just a perspective that we all can have. And if you remember George's memorial and Ken's memorial, those were some old guys that just, you could see the love of the Lord. And you loved being around them. And they didn't complain. They just, so all these things we've been talking about, they had a bigger perspective. And that's what some of you people need. Or I'll get you with my cane. All right, so then a couple other scriptures as we wind down here. How to age well. So he died a good old age, full of days and riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his place. So David died, but this is then what happened to him. Here's one I really like. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory. We've got a lot of kings and queens in this room, and a lot of absent crowns. If it is found in the way of righteousness. See, that's another part. As old folks, as we age and maybe succumb to some of those negative aspects and get bitter, pay attention to me, I'm your elder. Yeah, but you're an idiot. Wisdom with age, righteousness, that's what we desire. Do not rebuke an elder man. Oops, sorry for whatever I've said. Sorry about that. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. So just some good text. And believe it or not, I really do look up to some of you hoary-headed women as my mother. And David, you know, I told you this, David loves this church family, you know, we're an older congregation, and he says, I have so many grandparents. I mean, that's what a kid. But I still know why tigers eat their young. So a practical solution. So for old folks and for folks dealing with them, recognize the reality of it. That's just part of the process. Awareness, respect. And that's a big thing, is respecting. Activities for older folks. They've done studies that the number of activities correlates to life satisfaction. So you think of, you know, why all those winter chickens go to like Sun City. They have lots of activities for older folks to do, and that just keeps people active and out. Enjoying time with your spouse, with your grandkids. You know, Scott, right now, Scott Adams is over skiing with the grandkids. That's just, you know, that's, you have a new place in the family. You get to spoil the grandkids. Or you get to hold the baby, make them cry, and then give them back to mom. And then also then recognize all of life should be worship. And so our vocation, I mean, we have some pretty high power careers in this from back in the day, but you still have a vocation serving and worshiping God in all of life. It's not just a job. And so ministries, what ministries? You know, and we all do them in different ways, but we have a good bunch of folks that we do a lot of things as we're getting old. Oops, I guess those are there. Stay active. Understand the vocation, a calling. So what? Do we honor the elderly? Not so much in the culture, but we in this church and in the church in general, we really should honor the elderly. Do we, and as we are getting older, do we recognize God's care? You know, especially guys, I got this, I'll take care of all this. No, God's always had it. And then being faithful to our commitment of God. So, I still want you to stay off my lawn. And it's all for God's glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you just for the ability to live life in your grace. Even as we get old, help us to just keep our perspective praising you and being the wisdom of a righteous generation that younger folks need but don't even think or value. Help us to be godly ambassadors, older ambassadors for you in our lives, in the world, in the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.